You, Alex. Good morning. How are you? We heard you had snow last week. Wow. We had a good time in Mexico and a lot of dancing and salsa. No, it wasn't that. I wish. We arrived on Saturday. We wake up at 4 in the morning. Need to be at the airport at around 7. And actually, our flight is at 8 o'clock. And by the time we arrived in Mexico, we took a bus from the airport. We arrived to a place called Toluca. And we arrived at 4:45 on Saturday, and our meeting started at 5. So 15 minutes, you know, drop your, you know, just lie 2 minutes on the bed, take a breath, take a drink, run down. There we go. And we have 2 meetings on Saturday night. And Alexandra asked a question, said, "How long do you want me to talk?" And I was very happy when I heard the answer. Well, the pastor said, "Well, maybe around 2 hours." She went, "Oh, no kidding." I thought she's thinking about maybe 45 minutes. Okay, maybe you can do an hour and a half. So I said, okay. So I was taking with another group, doing another session. And so I was keeping the time to around 2 hours. And interestingly, after I was done, she was still going. And she did more than 3 hours, actually. And she was talking, ministering to the ladies. I was ministering to the guys. And, man, all the ladies come out crying. You know, and they're hugging each other, all this kind of thing. So I thought, wow, something happened there. Yes, something did happen. With the guys, and after we did the meetings, one guy, he came and he prepared a little dish. And it was literally minced beef cooked with lemon juice. Anybody had that before? They literally crush meat with lemon juice and make it like a little tuna. And I tell you, my belly was going fellowship inside. Whoop, whoop. After you travel the whole day, you had a meal around 10 o'clock at night. You go to bed, you hear the left and the right fellowship going on. And I said to Alex, "Don't eat. You know, I'll suffer for you." Anyway, and then Sunday we had the meeting and we started at 11 o'clock. And again, we finished around 5 o'clock. And it was an amazing meetings. And by the time we finished, again, they tried to give us the same meal again. I thought, oh no, not again, you know. That's enough for 1 week, you know. So we tried not to offend them. So we tried to lead a little bit and, "Oh, this is good, this is good. Thank you very much," and everything. And then they dropped us at the hotel. And as soon as we saw them move, Alex and I, we went to the restaurant. "Let's have a meal." We were hungry and everything, so we're tired. And then the very next day we had Monday, we took the bus again. We traveled over about 4 hours. And there we have, from Monday to Friday, we have meetings started at 9 o'clock. And we finish around sometimes 11, sometimes 10. Friday night, we finish around 2 o'clock in the morning. And next day, we pack Saturday morning at 6 o'clock, we were up. So we only got a couple of hours of sleep. So here we are. And we had a guy called Margaret and Kevin Pete. We are the president of Elim Church. You heard Elim? You heard about it. Some people pronounce it different. It's a Pentecostal a charismatic denomination in UK and Scotland. So he oversees the northern part of UK and Scotland, Ireland. So we had a lot of fun. We have a lot of joke. So he did session every day with us, and then we have business meeting every day. And I had about an hour kind of sit in the sun. That's probably it. That's enough for my skin. So, but there was a lot of good thing. And so we, that when Steve was trying getting emails and we were trying to announce that John and Trish Butzma in April with our business partners and everything, but somehow these things, the news got leaked. It got over and everything, and other people started sending email and asking questions. We realized news traveling too fast, because the partners in Harvest Churches already know that, and I say to Steve, we can't wait, because our people need to hear first, not our neighbors. It's not good. So that's why we have to make another announcement so that you know. Okay, what else? So it was good this morning to be here. I was watching and listening to the young people, and Bob playing. It was, you know, I'm going to preach a message that I preach in Mexico, and it will shock some of you, and it will shake some of you. But if you're looking for a place to be real, this is a place, I'm telling you. We're not a fancy church. We're not a, you know, grandiose kind of thing. But if you want real, this is it. I don't think you'll get more real than that. If you want a real relationship, you will get it here. That's who we want. That's what we believe God wants the church to be. Right? So just before I go into my message, I just want to let you know this thing. And things are going very fast, very, very fast right now in the things of, in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of the kingdom of God on the earth. You probably don't know it because you probably just go to work and come home, which is like, but God is doing things very, very, very fast. I'm going to read a couple of things that Kay gave us last 2 weeks, I guess. There were seven things that the prophet was saying about 2011. I won't be able to get the whole thing, but if you want a copy, we'll make copy for next week. We'll bring it for you. It's about the 11 decrees for 2011. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to tap on a few things. One of the prophets, those of you know very well, Patricia King, she mentioned that 2011 is the year of transition. Extreme favor increase and acceleration for those who are submitted to Christ. For those who are submitted to Christ. For many will be the best year ever. And then she gave the verses, scriptures, Deuteronomy 1:11 and 11 to 12. The key verse for this year. That was a prophetic word for Patricia King. And I believe she can preach 2 hours on that topic, just talking about that. And I believe Bob Livingstone coming next week, it's a very key thing. Bob Livingstone is from the Bay Street. He's a president of a company, I think Bergstone or something like this. And he oversees about, I forgot, something around $53 billion financially every day. Could be more, but I'm getting just like, if I can remember well. And Bob Livingstone has a mandate in his spiritual life is to talk to people about how to save money. And he has a lot of topics that he go, and he's a teacher. He go around and he teach at university, he teach at colleges, he teach to Bay Street people, and he's a very good teacher. So far, in terms of Canadian financial people, I think he's among the 10 best right now in the nation. So we're going to have him next week. So I don't want you to miss this, right? It's a good thing to know. But you have to do well in these days, right? And then on Mother's Day, we're going to have another speaker. His name is Ian McCormack. How many have heard about Ian McCormack? Well, Ian McCormack has, he died and he came back to life. Literally died for several hours. And in the time he passed away, he was gone. A lot of things happened. He saw a lot of things in the spirit. And he's from UK, and he came back to life. And there's something about me and Ian McCormack. We have something in relation together, because he died in Mauritius, the place where I was born. And he was stung by poisonous fish. And by the time he was swimming to the shore, he was already bubbling, skin stone colors and everything. So he tried to walk. So he got into a taxi, and the guy saw he was dying. So the guy opened the taxi door, pulled him outside, left him on the street to die, because they don't want to be, you know, this kind of thing. So he was left on the street in the middle of nowhere, don't speak the language, all this kind of thing. So he literally died. And somebody passed and picked him up and bring him to their hospital. And I'll let him finish the story. So on Mother's Day, he's going to be the speaker. So we're going to have a good lot of things. And then the week after that, we're going to have John and Carol Arnott. We're going to be here, right? So John and Carol Arnott are founding pastors. And I would encourage you to really come and have an importation. All right? So, and in the middle from there to there, we want to have some of our own people to speak. Right? So last Sunday we have Annie. We heard good things. So we had Jude. And we're supposed to have Joe today, but Joe's not feeling well. So I'm trying to fill in the gap. All right? So from time to time, we want to have some of our own people to start to speak. Right? And even some of not scheduled, and yet they do speak. Right? Okay. Very good. Well, if you have your Bible, turn to me to Revelation chapter 5, but as I'm going to continue to read on the 11 things that the prophet is saying. The number 9 thing of the prophetic thing for 2011 was a guy named Jeff Jensen from Global Fire Ministry. And let me read what he put down here. He said, 2011 is a year of resurrection power brought by great expectation, hunger, and lingering in his presence. Let me say this again. 2011 is a year of resurrection power brought by great expectation, hunger, and lingering in his presence. The Lord said that it's John 20, chapter 20, verse 11, for 2011. This is the account of Mary Magdalene at the tomb of Jesus after the resurrection. The Lord fully intends to wake up Lazarus, the sleeping of the dead church, from his sleep of death. There will be resurrection glory in the natural as well as with great revival. In 2011 will be the beginning of revival that will sweep into cities and region globally. I believe, that's what this guy Jeff Jensen said. He said, I believe that in 2011 we will see America return to the Lord in revival fire. Hallelujah. It's time. When I saw that, I got excited, because everything is connected to what I feel, Chicago 2011. And I keep saying this. We keep hearing the same thing. There's going to be a revival sweeping over the land. You know, when I feel the anointing, sometimes I cry, so just bear with me. It's not me. It's just the anointing that I'm a responder to the Holy Spirit. But that's verses of John 20, verse 11. It's referring when Mary was weeping at the tomb. There's an anger, there's an expectation, and next thing you know. And sometimes revival happens, some people don't even notice what happened. When Jesus talked to Mary, Mary thought he was a gardener. Knowing he was raised from the dead, he's the one, he's the Lord. Sometimes some of us, we can see revival right in front of us, never recognize revival. I want to tell you, get ready. Something is about to happen. God is doing something very quick, very fast. And the last one is number 11, is Patricia King. I just want to read one more thing here. And then I'm going to get into the Revelation chapter 5. It said 2011 is a year of separation. It's a year where we have to separate ourselves. Good from evil, weed from tares, light from darkness, true committed followers of Christ will rise up and advance the kingdom by bringing light into darkness in various arenas of culture and society. The righteous will shine like the noonday sun. Those who are truly given to the Lord in heart, mind, and body, and soul will determine to obey and follow the Lord according to His word. Others will compromise the word in order to choose their own agenda. 2011 is a year to consecrate our life afresh unto Him. It is a year of shifting, analyzing, and separation. Why do we read this morning? Because we want you to know what God's intention, what He's doing. God create time and season, generation, and we want to know that what God is, what the Spirit of God is saying. And we respect these people, and we know when they speak things happen. We heard from Jim Gore a couple of days ago what he was prophesying over the land of Canada. And we will see Canada rise up. Okay, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn, you have your Revelation chapter 5. Okay, I'm going to go a couple of verses in chapter 5. Just follow with me quickly, and then we're going to chapter 6. Okay, in the beginning of chapter 5, John the Beloved, John the Apostle, received his vision from God. Now, you probably have read Revelation in chapter 2, 3, and 4 where he visited heaven a few times, and then yet the Lord, the verse says, come up, oh, come again, and he keep going again and keep going again. And now he's in a place where he's deep, deep, deep in the thing of the Spirit. And I like this when we were singing the song, Lord, search my heart. In Proverbs 20 said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and it search our innermost being. Your spirit is what? The candle of God. What did God do with it? He searches you. He searches you deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. You want to go deeper? That's the only way. When the Spirit of God take your spirit, search you in and out. And God know your heart. There's nothing is hidden from the eyes of the Lord. And when I read Revelation chapter 5, it reminds me, several years ago, I visited this place in the Spirit. The Lord allowed me to visit this place. I didn't have a clue. Only when I read the scripture, I thought, oh, this is the thing that I saw. Right? So, it makes something when you have somebody else say, hey, have you been to Bahamas? Yes, I've been there too. Where do you go? Oh, I've seen this. I have this place. Yes, it was good. Right? You understand what I'm saying? So there's something in common. So it's almost similar when I was reading this. And then it says this. There's a scroll in verse 1. There's a scroll written on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I want you to imagine, let's say this is a scroll. And the way it is written is like you go and then you go down the next line, then you go down the next line. But not that scroll is not written like this. This scroll is written from one side, and then it go back to the other side, and then it go back to the front. And that's how it is written. So, let's say, for example, if you're reading this, you finish from left to right, you'd have to turn around to continue to read it, back, and then you continue to read it. It's going like in a circle. Right? And this scroll is sealed with seven seals. And when he said in verse 2, he said, and I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seal and open the scroll? Verse 3, but no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. Even looking inside, no one can do it. And verse 4 say, I wept and wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Now, this verse 4 is a key word right now for our church. Like Mary Magdalene was at the tomb weeping, it's the same anointing, it's the same presence here. John was weeping because this is so important. If we cannot open the scroll, there's no hope. That's it. It's the end of everything. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, when Mary was weeping at the tomb, that's it. It's gone. It's done. It's the end of everything. And the same thing come to mind. So John was weeping and weeping because no one was found worthy to open the scroll. That scroll is so important. It has to be opened, but no one can be found worthy. No one. You have a scroll in your life that needs to be opened. I have a scroll on my life that is written about me, my purpose, my destiny, that need to be cracked open. Unless you realize this, unless you open the scroll, nothing's going to happen. And that, if you understand it, you will realize if you cannot open the seal of your life, that's it. There's no hope. Canada has a seal, has a scroll. And this is when it's so important for us right now to get real with God. And if you want to get real with God, you're going to cry, you're going to cry, you're going to cry, you're going to cry. You're going to cry, you're going to cry, you're going to cry, you're going to cry, and you're going to cry. You're not going to stop crying until you find a solution. Nobody's going to be able to help. There's no one in heaven. There's no one on earth. There's no one under the earth. All right? Only when you started to get real with God. When Jesus was alive, walked on the earth, he went to the temple and he opened, gave him a scroll and they opened and he opened it and he read from the book of Isaiah. How many of you know it? So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news to the poor, to set the captive free, to heal the sick. He started to read the fivefold of anointing in his life. You have a scroll in your life that God has written before the foundation of this world. It's your purpose. It's your destiny. And if you know that and you're not doing it, it's going to come to a point in your life. Don't wait until you're too old. Don't wait until you cannot walk, cannot chew and meet. Then you're going to cry out to God and find out you miss it. This year, I believe, is a year for all of us to start to cry out and find out, God, what is my scroll right now? What is my destiny and my purpose? How do I open the seal? And how do you say, no one is found worthy? The moment the Lord, the Spirit of God, find you worthy, only then the seal can be opened. Only then God will open and reveal to you what is your purpose and your destiny. Only then you will be able to find your life fruitful, worthy. And don't worry about those people who don't want to do anything for God. They come, they go, they float around. They think they are happy where they are. Don't get it wrong. Don't let these things bother you. One day they say things, one day they say something else. That's going to change. If we become real, we're going to change. But don't let these things affect your life. You have to look for yourself, what God has called you to do. One day Jesus came to Peter and said, Peter, I'm going to call you to become a fisher of men. You're going to go and build. And on you, upon the rock, I will build my church. And say, now go and make disciples. And Peter said, well, Lord, what about this one? God said, what does it matter? What about that person? It's not your problem. You go and do what I call you to do. We are at a time in a season right now. Don't worry what other people do, what God said to others. You have to worry about what God's called you to do. And stay within that calling. Then God's going to find you worthy. The scroll was opened on the earth. Jesus opened it. And I'm pretty sure that this is the same destiny that the church has. To preach the good news. And if you believe you're part of the church, then it is your destiny to preach the good news. If you feel God's called you to be part of the church, then Jesus called us to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And heal the sick and raise the dead. Sometimes you raise the dead, you don't even know. I raised somebody from the dead last year, I don't even know. Somebody raised from the dead. I only find out in December. And so far I counted, this is number 3. Person that raised from the dead that we pray for. Could be more. Sometimes you never know. It doesn't matter what's the number. It's just what God's called you to do. And verse 5, when one of the elder said to me, do not weep. This is a key thing here. Your weeping can only stop until it's been recognized by heaven. Now, I remember two or three years ago, the Lord gave me a message, don't weep. This is a time to rejoice. But somehow, if you listen to my message, you say, Pastor John, what are you talking about? You did talk about this is a time of rejoicing. Well, things change. When I feel, 2 weeks ago when I was singing the song Revival, Revivers, I felt almost like crying in the presence of God. And I feel there's something broken, open up. Weeping in the presence of God, it's precious now in these days. It's powerful. I said, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the roots of David, has triumphed. Now, these two words are very, very symbolic. He didn't say the word Jesus. He didn't say the word Savior, Lord. It said the tribe of Judah. What is Judah? Praise, right? Praise many times is represented by the new wine. What's that mean? The tribe of Judah mean praise, right? It literally mean worship, and it also represent the wine. And then he said the other word, he said, the roots of Judah. When you go to Israel, you find that when we're talking about the roots of things, and Israel, the symbol of Israel is the olive tree. Literally talking about the olive, the oil. The roots of Judah, like you are crafted in, you know, John 15 talk about he's, you know, we are the branches, he's the vine. We have been plugged in, we've been crafted in that tree, in that plant. We are not the one who support the root, but we are the one who support us. So it's talking about now there's a new thing God is doing. Jesus was that roots of David, that promise that God gave David, that I will put one of your descendants on the throne forever. And that is Jesus. Even you and I, we know it's to be Jesus, but specifically that means the two things. Literally mean the wine and the oil. Has triumph. He's able to open the scroll and its 7 seal. Who has triumph? The wine and the oil. I want you to say this. Whose triumph? The wine and the oil. And God wants you to be the same. He wants you to have the oil and the wine. So my message this morning about the oil and the wine, but we're going to go even deeper. When I saw a lamb, looking at verse 6, looking at it, has been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. When I saw the scriptures, this is very powerful to me, because this is the thing that the Lord opened my eyes when I was, when I had the visitation, or literally been brought to this place, when I saw the Father God and Jesus hold my hand and bring me to the Father, and I saw these creatures with eyes all over, and I look at it now, it's literally talking about this creature that has seven eyes, and I did not have a clue what it means. So I immediately, when I say, what is that? My eyes just focus on that creatures which worshiping in the front of God. And I heard a voice on my right speak to me. It said, this is the eye of the Spirit of the Lord. And when I turned, I realized this was an angel been telling me all the thing. And then he said, and I imagine, like, what is this for? And he said this word, say, there's nothing can be hidden on the earth, in the earth, and under the earth. Nothing can be hide from the eye of the Spirit of the Lord. So when I read the scriptures, like, wow, here we go. It reminds me of the vision that God gave me. And verse 7, he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they're holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Those who've been crying out to God, your prayers are in this golden bowl. Those who have a pure heart before the Lord, been sincere to the Lord, your prayers is not wasted. Your prayer is being collected in this golden bowl. And I can tell you, and I will tell you right now, your prayers, your powerful prayer, if you're right with God. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful. Not just to heal the sick, but it's powerful for the destiny, your life, my life, destiny of nation. Don't underestimate your prayers. They're powerful. And verse 9. And they sang a new song. I want you to turn to your neighbor's side, a new song. Now, I want you to understand this one thing. This is it changed a lot of things. When there's a new song in heaven, it's a new thing. Oh yes, Pastor, I can hear it. No, you're not hearing it. You should be excited by now. Everything now has changed. What was before, it's gone. If tomorrow the government given new rules, now everybody has to drive on the left. So everything's changed. But that's not happening, okay? Don't drive on the left tomorrow, okay? Just as an example. When there's a new song in heaven, suddenly there's a new things, and the whole heaven change. The whole atmosphere of heaven change. Something new has been happening right now. And what has changed? Let me tell you what has changed. It changed so that you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased man for God. And from every tribe and language and people and nation. Let me say this again. That new song is now the scroll is open, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchase, you buy, you bought man and woman for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests and to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth. Okay. That new song is this. With the blood of Jesus, now God is purchasing people from nation, tribe, everywhere around the world. Right? Why? What's the purpose? And if you have been purchased by the blood, which I believe you are and I have, my purpose now is to become priest and servant. That's what it say. No doubt about it. Why? You have made them, you purchased them, and you now made them priests of the kingdom and servant of God. When I look at these two things, it gives me the same word again. The wine, the oil. You have been called to have the wine and the oil. And how do you have it? How do you serve God? Doesn't matter if you're a prophet, doesn't matter if you're pastors, teachers, evangelists. Doesn't matter. The key things are we're called to serve the living God. And I tell you one thing, to serve God today, the very small thing you do, God will see. Don't underestimate what you do for the kingdom of God. There were many coming in those days and said, Lord, we have prophesied your name. We have healed the sick. We raised the dead. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Get away from me. Never knew you. And yet another group came and said, Lord, Jesus said, come. You're good and faithful. And I was sick. I was alone. I was in jail. You come and visit me. When did we do that? I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. We're coming to a time in our life where everybody wants to prophesy, everybody wants to raise the dead, everybody wants to be prophet. But I'm telling you right now, in the eyes of God, this is not so. We're not impressing men, we want to know what God's saying. God wants you to become a priest for his kingdom. A priest in the kingdom of God. How do you value that? To go in the presence of God. I mean, if you can go in the presence of the queen, you will be happy, you'll be fine, worthy. If you're invited to the wedding, you'll be saying, yeah, I'm invited to the wedding. I'm going to meet, you know, Prince William and all this. I mean, there's a value to it, right? But imagine now you're a priest in the kingdom of God. And you are a servant of God. A lot of people think about this word servant. They have the wrong imagination. They think like that's mean poor and poverty and lack. And no, it's not. It's not. This is the highest place right now on earth. The prime minister can be a servant of God. The queen of England, if she is a servant of God, that honor is 100,000 billion times better than her own title. Don't look this as something poor, miserable, whatever. No, it's not. And God called men and women to serve the servant of God who go and they change nation, they change destiny. God purchased you with his blood so that you can become a servant. How precious, how value, how much do you value the blood of Jesus? All the wealth, all the riches of the earth combined together is not equal the blood of Jesus. And he buy you by his blood. So how much of you valuable when you become a servant of God? That's one of the reasons we open this church as much as we can to have people to come and serve. I could have stand up this morning and play in the worship. But we want to see other people getting into that place. Those who are hungry for God, those who want to have his place and purpose, let them happen. You want to be able to do something for God? Come. Do something. I could stand at the door and do the usher every Sunday. But I feel like the Lord said, let others serve. Let them become servant. Good, God, thank you. You don't want one person to take all of this. You want to be able to spread that. And there's so much in heaven that there's not in... If you can only see what God has planned for you, you'll be amazed. And I say this many times. When you go to heaven, you'll find out the biggest mention is not the words that the popular name that you and I know. We are the no person name. Nobody have seen, nobody have heard. And yet we have been faithful. The very one thing you want to when you go to heaven one day, and I pray that each one of us will do that. You want to hear this word. Amazing evangelist or prophet. That's what you want to hear? No. The very first thing you want to hear is God say, good and faithful servant. That is the honor. That word, when you hear this for the first time, you know how good you're going to feel? Forget about 649. Forget about all these things. Nothing compared to that. I'm telling you. But what if you don't hear that? What if when you step into heaven, you hear the music go, and there was a silence in heaven, and you were like, you know, you can fall. If you don't hear anything, that can kill you. Your heartbeat is going to, you can hear that. And this silent thing in heaven, like suddenly everybody stop and look at you, and you don't hear this word. Man, think about this. How are you going to feel? He purchased you with his blood, and yet it cannot be proclaimed this. Why? Well, you probably know the answer. I probably know the answer. What are we doing? He didn't say just a servant. He said good and faithful. Remember these two words to that being servant. Good. How did you serve? I was complaining. I was making my pastor miserable. I was nagging all the time, but I was serving. I was serving. I was doing good, but not very happy. Is that what I say? No. Good. So you ask a question. How am I right now being a good servant? Am I even serve? How am I serving God? What am I doing? What did I do this week, last month, last year? Well, yeah, I know I was busy. I was going through a tough time. Well, any time. Your purpose and destiny, it come out when you become serious with God and you're crying out to God. That's when things change. You want a new song in your life? It starts when you start weeping for God. And then God will reveal you your scroll, your destiny. And then you want all the things that you want. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Verse 11. When I look and hear the voice of many angels, numbering thousand upon thousand upon thousand, 10,000 times, they encircle the throne, the living creatures and elders. In a loud voice, they sang, worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power, wealth, wisdom, and strength. And this is what happened when you start to serve God in this way. That thing that is singing right now, we see power, wealth, wisdom, and strength. That's why we've been talking about this. We talk about wisdom. We talk about strength. We're going to talk about wealth. A lot of people want to have this power, want the wealth. Yes, God will give it. I believe there's a time and a season God is going to make his children the most powerful generation that ever walked on the earth, power, strength, and all this kind of thing, and wisdom. But we need to step into this place of serving God. What's the, what it worth to gain the whole world and lose your soul? What happened to Michael Jackson? Richest man, powerful, everybody want to be with him on the stage, yet he cannot sleep at night. And all the kids are after him, and you know, forget about the other singers. It's not worth mentioning this morning. Yet God wants to raise up the church in this place. He wants to share that with us. He wants you to reign on the earth. How are you going to reign? Power, wealth, wisdom, and strength. Did it say there? Yes, verse 10. To serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Don't think about, again, God has a plan, has a purpose. When I heard, verse 13, when I heard every creature in heaven and earth, and on the earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all that is in them, singing, to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, praise and honor and glory and power and forever. The fourth living creature say, Amen, and the elders fell down, and they worship again. When things happen on the earth, it gives me the picture right now. When things happen in your life, in my life, worship takes place in heaven. The elders fell down and worship. Not only here on the earth, when you start to reign and rule, when you start to walk in your destiny and your purpose, heaven worship. And not only heaven, he says this, in verse 13, it says, on the earth, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all in them singing. When you start doing what God's called you to do, the whole universe worship God and say Amen. Chapter 6. How many of you are excited to read a revelation like this? How many remember the time when you read Revelation? Oh, this is boring. But now you realize, oh my God. It changed everything. Verse 6, chapter 1. As I watch, as the Lamb opened the first seven seal, then I heard one of the four living creatures saying in a loud voice, like thunder. How many have heard thunder before? I'll never forget the day I was on top of a mountain in Africa. And that mountain, the peak of the mountain was above the cloud. Go through the cloud, climbing up, and there was some waterfall where you can go and you can dive and swim, this kind of thing. So we were diving and everything. And next thing I know, lightning and thunder start to crash. I was so close. I was in that cloud, man. I'm telling you. I feel I'm going to die. I saw the lightning, and I put my hand on my eyes. The light was so bright, even I covered my eyes with my hand. And I don't know, you hear this light just cracking and breaking. And I've never heard something like this before. And I run, everything become white, and I don't even know what is in front of me. All I see is just white light. And running down the mountain. Next thing start pool rain, mud, slush. They were rushing behind me, and I was running. Right? And I thought, man, I don't want to have this experience anymore. So when I look at this and say, this is a loud voice, like thunder. Oh my goodness. Can I read it the way it is meant to be read? If you want, this is how it's said. Probably even louder than that. Now, when you hear this word come in, can you not go? Can you refuse to go? Can you say no? Can you disobey? And God, let me say this. God is calling you right now. Come. Go and make disciples. Okay. Come. I look, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror, bent on conquest. I want you to read this. I want you to see this in your Bible with me. Verse 2. I look, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown. And he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. This horse and its rider is called what to do? To conquer. Do you want to, when you hear the word come, do you want to go and look? How many want to say, I want to look? You want to look? You will want to look. Well, I'll show you something here. Can we have this? I want to show you something that was captured. And let me just put it this for you. This is on MSNBC. Can we have the lights off there, please? Do we have the sound? Do we have the sound? Okay. I'm going to put a full picture, full screen right now, so. Oops. Maybe not. Okay, we'll keep it this way. So this video clip was taken live, and at the same time they show this live, it was shown all over Europe as well, from Euronews and a couple of CNN and MSNBC. And this, you will see there's a two frame, the left side is the camera is pointing down on the street. This is till here in Egypt, in the square. And the right side is the journalists, the reporters. And they are telling what is happening, what they are hearing, and they're talking about among themselves. Now, this clip is about 15 minutes. I'm not going to play the whole 15 minutes. I'm just showing just enough for you to see what they have captured on their camera. Okay? So, it's going to be around the 10 minute. Now it's 7 minutes. So, just for the sake of time, we're going to forward it a little bit further. Maybe a bit more further. Right, let's say around 9 minutes. We're going to watch this. There's no sound.
The people of Tunisia rose up, and it seemed almost painless if you watched it on television. Oh, they got, you know, a little bit of tear gas. They had some casualties, not an overwhelming number. I'm not trying to make light of the Tunisian casualties, but it was a relatively peaceful and quick uprising, and it looked painless. So I think this is the way of sending a message to the Egyptian people that it won't happen so easily here, if at all, which sends that kind of message to other countries. Algeria, for example. Algeria, many Algerians are unhappy with their government. The country went through a horrible civil war. 100,000 people died. If they looked at Tunisia, maybe they would think, well, we can do that. But if they look in Egypt and they see that the main square has now been on fire with exchanges of Molotov cocktails, they might back away.
What do you think will make the most difference tomorrow and the day after in terms of whether or not Mubarak leaves or stays?
U.S. pressure and the army's loyalty. If the army decides that this is a good idea, that this is a pretext to come in and clean up the situation once and for all and have a crackdown, or if the army decides
that the almost 83-year-old president has gone a step too far and is sending his country into armed conflict for his own legacy. The Army's calculation on the strategic value of this and the U.S. pressure, I think, are and, of course, what happens here.
And, Rachel, one other aspect. I was told today by a senior administration official, reminded today that in a circumstance like this, some of the talking is military to military. It's impossible to spend any amount of time at one of our service academies in the United States without eventually seeing the markings of every worldwide army that has any affiliation, any relationship with the United States.
Okay, keep watch. On your left screen. Daniel Dumont.
Ties among general officers are pretty deep. It's been reported, no secret, that a bunch of talks going on between the United States and Egypt with the attempt to...
Let me play it again.
What Americans have learned, Brian, over the past week is just how much
is going at the Department of Defense, our Pentagon level, and between very, very senior ranks. And it's been reported, no secret here, that a bunch of talks going on between the United States and Egypt.
Let me play it one more time.
It's been reported, no secret here, that a bunch of talks going on between the United States and Egypt. And it's been reported, no secret.
You see that?
Right
here. Did you see this? Right there. We killed the sound. Without knowing, we capture this picture of this horse now riding. And can I have the lights on back, please? Let's know if I can put a full screen on that. It's here at the bottom. And as we were reading the scriptures, say its rider held a bow and have a crown, and some of people who went into this, they saw there's a cross. And they say that he rode out as a conqueror to bent. Now, if you remember this, everything happened in Egypt and then started spreading out. And how many of you know how it's happened? The revolution, whatever, if you want to call it revolution. It happened on a dating website. And they use a keyword. It's a hidden word code for free, love and freedom. Right? Do you want to find freedom? You want to find love? Basically, we're talking about having this revolution going on. And people start to sign up. It's on a dating website. Want to find, want to be set free. Now, interestingly, Jews say, I come to set the captive free. And we need to use the word freedom. And after that, you see it happen in all different places. Yemen, Syria, Tunisia, Libya. It's happening. Now, what John the Apostle saw in the vision about 2,000 years ago, you now see this in your life today. And if you continue to read chapter 6, well, let me go because of time. Same chapter, look at the verse 14. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. He said, I watch, and he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth, made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth. And a late fig from the fig tree, when shaken by a strong wind, the sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. And the next thing you know, they're hiding on the cave. When I heard about the tsunami happening in Japan, and they say this is a worse tsunami, this is a worse disaster, like it's going to take about $210 billion to recover, to rebuild the city, the whole thing. But it's not what the natural disaster that they're worried about now. They're more worried about their nuclear disaster. And when this, if that thing explodes, then you will realize that the scriptures, that the sun, the skies roll up, it's going to be red, everything. Which we don't know. But what we know, the reality is, Japan has been shifted by 3 meters from its original position. And the world axis has been shifted as well. And if you read the whole chapter 6, which we don't have time, you will see there's a lot of things like this has been talking about. Where did they run? They ran on the mountain. They want to hide. But turn to me to verse 6. Let's read from verse 5. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come." I look, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Verse 6. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day, wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a day, wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." Among the whole thing that's happening, all the scroll is open up. Everything that's going to be conquered, 100,000 people die, these things happening, earthquake and all this kind of thing. Disaster happened, people losing everything they have. One day they were rich, the next day they were poor. But this one thing said, "Do not touch, do not damage the oil and the wine." What's it represent, oil and wine? It represents the priestly and the servant. There was 10 virgins, 5 was foolish, 5 was wise. What's the difference between the two of them? They both have a lamp. It was on fire. It was burning. But the wise one, they have jars. They carry extra oil with them. Now, when I read with you, like the Proverbs 20 said, the spirit of man, the candle of the Lord. What are you thinking when you think about the candle? You think about this white wax candle? That's what you think? That's not what you're talking about. If you look at its original place, you're talking about the candle, the lamp of the candle literally means that little jar, clay pot that has oil in it and with a wick. That's what it means. It's talking about this symbol. Don't forget. I know some of you think about a flashlight, not the candlestick. It's talking about this little clay pot. And do you know how they found the Bible, the scriptures in Qumran? The scroll was found in the clay pot. They preserve them in the clay. That's how they found the Bible. Well, let me explain something before we end of this meeting this morning. How do they make, have this oil for the lamp? They three wave. They press the olive oil. They literally harvest the olive oil and they press it. The first time press, some of you buy all the olive oil, you know they call it cold press. It's the best one you can buy. This is, they use it for cooking. And when they press it the second time, guess what they use for it? Soap. They make soap with it. And then the third one, that is literally the bottom one, which is have a lot of grit, a lot of pulp. It's a dirty oil. That's what they use for the lamp. Now, poor people who cannot afford to buy the expensive, the second one, but can only buy the cheapest oil, that's what they use for cooking anyway. That's what they use to wash, that's what they will use to burn the lamp. When I see this, it gets me excited. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying here. Many will come in my name, will say, Lord, we prophesy, we heal the sick, but God said, no, I never knew you. But say, when did you visit me? I was thirsty, I was hungry, I was naked. Who are we talking about? The poor. The fatherless, the motherless, the widow. Let me tell you one thing. If you look after them, they are the oil in your clay pot that will keep your lamp burning. You want to buy oil? That's the way to buy oil. You have been called. I have been called to be wise. I have been called not only to have my lamp shine, but also to have oil. Where? What does this oil mean? I've just told you. Go and help those who are poor. Help those who are desperate. Help those who are the fatherless and the motherless. Little that you know, they are the one who will open the doors for you in heaven, say, good and faithful. God put them on the earth for a purpose. And if God has blessed your life, then God expects you to be a blessing to somebody else. You understand that? I'm going to stop now because of time. I can go on, but I want to honor your time as well. So why don't we stand? I want you to understand and recognize the time we are living right now. I want to encourage you to go and look and read Revelation chapter 5, 6, and 7. Read it with your children. Read it with your friend. Read it with your co-workers. Even if they don't believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter. Be a priest in your life. I want you to reconsider your life, how you're serving God today, this week, this month. Are you serving it with a faithful heart? Are you serving God with grumbling? I give you the scriptures the other day. Everyone who counts the cost, God will vomit everything with complaint. So if you have served God for 10 years and you complain, God's going to vomit it. So there's no complaint in the kingdom of God. Don't waste your time looking at your neighbors, whatever they're doing. You serve the Lord well. Remember, you have purchased with the blood of Jesus. And nothing will separate you from His love. We're coming to a time and season there's going to be great separation. There's coming to a season when the bride is going to shine. We're going to come to a time and a season where we will see who's the wise, who's the humble. We're going to find that the church of Jesus Christ is going to be very powerful and yet very humble and very loving and very graceful. And you have a part of it. And this morning, you have a choice. You have a choice to come or to sleep. You have a choice to call Lazarus to come out from the tomb or to stay in the tomb. You can call yourself the presence of God in your life. And I pray that there's a bit shifting in your heart this morning. How you see things is going to be different. How you understand what's going around you is going to be different. Live with those who are wise. Live with those who are careful what they say, what they speak. How do they honor the word of God? Father, I want to bring every single person right now before you. And Father, you know what we've been, where we go through. You know our situation, our circumstances. You know our success and our failure. But Father, all these things is not an excuse to serve you. All these things are not. When we stand before you, we will not be able to say, God, because I did not have the time, or I was not qualified. All these things will not stand. Help us, Father, to understand. When we stand before you one day, but we want to be so good and faithful. We want to hear it so much. And Father, help us, Father. We pray for those who believe there's only grace and nothing else but grace. God, have mercy. God, help them. And those who say, Father, we are not under the commandment anymore. God, have mercy. There's even a greater and bigger commandment in our lives. Help us, God. Help us to know that everything you give us, Father, is for you. We're going to turn it back for your glory. We're going to honor you with everything you've done in our lives. We want to thank you, Father. Father, I pray that this message will rest in the hearts of men and women and will not make us, Father, be fearful, but will make us have hopes. Those who serve you have hopes for a better place, for better glory, better kingdom. We want to thank you, God. Father, we want to thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.